The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We're ready for some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Second hour underway. And as I mentioned going to break, it is Brad Pitt's birthday. How about that? Brad Pitt turning 56 today. And I've watched a lot of Brad Pitt films, if for no other reason than my wife absolutely loves him.
Yeah, whose wife doesn't?
Well, there is that. But I went to look up, he's been in a lot of films, some of which have been very well acclaimed. Legends of the Falls, Ad Astra, the Ocean's movies, Fight Club, Troy, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Fury, Moneyball, a sports film, and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. People forget Interview with a Vampire. And then the one I did not like was Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Remember that movie with Angelina Jolie and they were married, yeah, and yet they had secret lives?
Too real.
Yeah. Yeah, too close to home.
Too close to home on that one?
Couldn't do that one. But what's your favorite movie? I mean, there's some good ones from him.
I'm a sucker for the Ocean's movies, Ocean's 11, 12,
yes,
and 13.
Yes.
They're just great fun. Another one of his that I find myself watching, because it always seems to be on now,
is
World War Z.
Oh, right.
That's that zombie one.
The zombie film.
And the only fear that I have is that if that was to ever happen, I don't want those type of zombies to exist. I want the Walking Dead zombies, the very slow-moving,
yes,
dumb zombies, because the World War Z zombies, they seemed intelligent and they seemed fast.
Yeah, they were pretty good. But if you had Brad Pitt around, you'd be okay.
He seemed to be okay. Yeah, he seemed to know what he was doing.
You know, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button always turned my head. It was not a great film, but the idea of...
The concept?
Yes, the inverse aging process.
Yeah.
Fascinating. And the relationship that he had with the woman and how that all changed, it sort of turned my head. I was thinking about it a lot for a long period of time.
That would be weird. If all of a sudden you just started, like you reached a point, you just started getting younger.
Well, that has certainly not happened to me. All right, when we come back, we're going to dive back into the NFL. In fact, we're going to look at a matchup this weekend of two former OU quarterbacks. That will be Philly and Arizona. We'll look at that when we return here on The Boss and the Gloss, Sports Map Radio.
Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
This segment of the Boss and the Gloss is brought to you by The Athletic. The Athletic delivers every sports story that matters. They have full-time local writers dedicated to your teams, providing breaking news, in-depth analysis, and exclusive stories you can't find anywhere else. Plus, they have national names like Robert Mays, Stuart Mandel, and Ken Rosenthal. The list goes on and on and on. This holiday season, from now until the end of the year, spread the joy of better sports coverage. Give an annual subscription to a friend. Give them a subscription to The Athletic, and you will get one free. One low price and two subscriptions for every team. Same rooting interests are not required, so head now to theathletic.com/BOGO radio to unwrap this deal. Again, that's theathletic.com/BOGO radio and get in on this right now, a great holiday gift. Okay, when we went to break, I could have done it as a trivia question. I could have asked the question, what college program has three of its alumni starting for the NFL at quarterback this week. And that's a really interesting stat. It is, of course, Oklahoma. They will have Baker Mayfield starting for the Cleveland Browns. And then a matchup will feature two of them on the same field at the same time. It will be Jalen Hurts for the Eagles and, of course, Kyler Murray with the Cardinals. And these three guys are all playing at a high level, or they have in recent weeks. It's sort of interesting looking back. There was always the notion that some programs just turned out better positional players. So remember, USC used to be tailback U, or Alabama always seemed to serve up great linebackers. I remember Texas A&M here in the Texas area, the Aggies tended to serve up great linebackers. Well, Oklahoma is on a run at the quarterback position. And it just got underscored last week when Jalen Hurts seemingly came out of nowhere. They pulled him off the bench, and he performed very well in his first game in the big limelight, filling in for Carson Wentz, who has not played well all year. And much of the problem for Carson Wentz, everybody said, was the surrounding cast. And to be sure, it's not been good. It's not been healthy. But it didn't seem to matter when Jalen Hurts came in. He played very, very well. And I think it's a credit to what Lincoln Riley, the head coach of Oklahoma, has done getting these guys ready to play at a high level in the NFL. Notably, when you look at these guys, the pedigree, Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy, Kyler Murray, Heisman Trophy, Jalen Hurts was taken in the second round. Of course, Mayfield and Murray both went number one overall. Hurts taken in the second round. And I'm telling you, watch him now. He has not gotten a lot of attention yet, but the current quarterback at Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler, he is looking like a star. Not this year, not with their stumbles coming out of the gate at the beginning. There's not going to be a lot of attention on him. But next year, you watch. He'll be on the short list for the Heisman. Lincoln Riley is tapping into something special. He was a former five-star high school quarterback who has played very, very well the last 4 to 5 weeks for the Sooners. And then notably, what also made me think about this week was that in signing day this week, the Sooners reeled in the number one rated quarterback in the nation. His name is Caleb Williams, and he's a five-star recruit out of Washington, D.C., and he is going to be the next great quarterback. So that is quarterback U, a really, really great group. And it will be two Oklahoma quarterbacks, Cardinals and Eagles, this week. I'll tell you what, both of them are struggling down the stretch here. I thought a few weeks ago that the Cardinals seemed to have all the right chemistry and energy, and Kyler Murray was performing at such a high level that the Cardinals were going to find their way into at least a wild card spot. Winning the division of the NFC West seemed aggressive given the quality of teams in the NFC West, but Cardinals now are in a different place. They have stumbled the last few weeks. Kyler Murray doesn't seem like the same Kyler Murray. There are whispers that he's beat up, that he's not physically right. He's not running around as much as he was, and his legs are so much a part of his game. The Cardinals are stumbling. They need to win. They are 7-6 on the fringe of the playoff picture in the NFC. And then the Eagles, 4-8-1 after benching Wentz, bringing in Hurts. They got a great win last week, but they're still only 4-8-1. If they were not in the NFC East, their season would be over. But they are still in the mix, as we just heard from Bram Weinstein in the last half hour. He is the play-by-play voice of the Washington football team. The Eagles are still in it. They are still a team to be feared, particularly with the energy that Jalen Hurts is bringing. And that matchup between Hurts and Murray this weekend, I think will be a very good matchup. I think if they're pretty evenly matched teams, you have to give the nod to the Cardinals. They've been the better team throughout this year. But I would not rule out Jalen Hurts' Eagles pulling off another win. Very intriguing to watch.
No, it's actually a fun matchup because I think all of us were high on what the Cardinals were doing early on.
Yeah.
And then they kind of hit that little slump, but they're still right in the thick of it. And for the Eagles, it's do or die. I mean, you lose.
They don't get another loss. One loss would knock them out of that NFC East race. And maybe just put them out of their misery. I mean,
technically it won't, but
right. Well, not in that division, I suppose. All right, thinking of that division, Dallas Cowboys play the 49ers this week. And in the inverse of a marquee matchup of quarterbacks, it'll be Nick Mullins versus Andy Dalton. Not as anyone scripted it at the beginning. But those two teams, while the matchup this week is uninspiring and neither team is headed anywhere in the postseason, those two teams have an extraordinary legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go back to the 80s and the 90s, you'd be hard-pressed to find...
Maybe go 70s, too.
That's right. You can go all the way back. And, well, I did, as a matter of fact. I couldn't resist. I'm an old Cowboys fan,
yeah.
And I watched most of these games. And I went back and looked at what were the biggest, best games between these two teams. And really, I needed to go all the way back to 72 was the one that stood out. I'll only highlight three games here, but these three games really began different eras for their team. There were seminal games that were turning points in each of the franchise's history. So in 1972, in a playoff game, the Cowboys were trailing 28-13 with just about a minute left in the third quarter, and head coach Tom Landry said, "I've had enough of Craig Morton. I'm bringing in Roger Staubach," and he rallied the Cowboys in the fourth quarter. Cowboys won 30-28. And after that rally by Staubach, the Cowboys traded Craig Morton away, and Roger Staubach was cemented as the quarterback of America's team. That was a turning point. That was the game that sent Morton packing. So a big seminal moment in the Cowboys' history there.
Yeah.
Then I fast forward to 1982. Mm-hmm. A game as a Cowboys fan, it was hard to watch, but an amazing last drive by the 49ers, culminating with Joe Montana to Dwight Clark in the corner of the end zone, Everson Walls' arms flailing in the sky, a play called the catch, we all know.
Yep. If you haven't seen it, then you've never seen football.
You really aren't a fan, yeah. Right? Yeah, that is one of the plays. In fact, it was played over and over and over in one of these TV commercials. Maybe it was Kodak or somebody. Yeah. I think, remember, Everson Walls was complaining that his likeness and his image was being used over and over again, yeah, for someone's commercial gain. And it had to be one of the most painful moments in Everson Walls' otherwise very, very good career.
No, I had a chance to talk to him once and, you know, asked him about how he feels about it. He goes, looking back on it, you know, I was waiting for him to say, "Look, you know, looking back on that day, you know, he's much better now." Looking back on it, he says, "No, it still stinks.
Still stinks.
Still stinks."
I mean, the amazing thing people forget. So, of course, the 49ers went up by one with that touchdown on the catch. Cowboys still had 51 seconds, and Danny White, the quarterback at that time, completed a long pass, 31 yards to Drew Pearson. They were almost in field goal range, but then there was a strip sack. White was sacked. The ball was turned over. And the 49ers and the Montana era began after that game.
Yep.
So a big turning point came there. I'll give you one more. This was my favorite. January 17th, 1993, in San Francisco, Jimmy Johnson was building something in Dallas. He'd accumulated all those draft picks. Remember, after the Herschel Walker trade, he was picking up good guys. They had Aikman now, Irvin, Harper. But in my mind, the Cowboys were still about a year away from being a Super Bowl champion. I didn't see them doing it that year. And they were facing the 49ers in the NFC Championship game as underdogs. And it was a very good game, back and forth. 49ers finally closed the gap to 4. Cowboys get the ball with about 4.5 minutes remaining, and they needed to run out the clock. And rather than hand the ball to Emmitt Smith, there was this great passed Alvin Harper on a skinny post. Harper broke it for 70 yards. That was the thing that pulled the Cowboys away. Cowboys went on to win 30-20 and win the Super Bowl that year, 1993. And that was the breakthrough, again, sort of seminal moment for the Cowboys then under the Jimmy Johnson era.
Yeah. Unfortunately, come Sunday, I don't think there's going to be a seminal moment this time around.
How times have changed. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. It seemed like when these two teams played each other, you know, a dynasty arose, and I don't know if that's going to happen this time.
Not this week. All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus, and I'm going to ask him, after the last couple of weeks, are we all ready to buy in on Baker Mayfield, who has been outstanding? It'll be Dr. Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus next on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com has, well, it's just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free your local at your local auto parts store. They'll even bring it to you out at your curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on the Sports Map Radio Network is Dr. Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus. Eric, thank you for joining us. Great to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So it's not every day I get someone on the air as a guest to talk football who has a doctor in front of his name, and this is not to be confused with Jill Biden or anything like that. We want to talk about your background. You are a data analytics guy, and you're at Pro Football Focus, and I saw that you have taught mathematics and high math in and at a university level, but I'd love to ask you, how are analytics changing the NFL right now, or what can the fans see? I hear more and more about the analytics suggesting when or if you should go for it on fourth down, but what other ways are analytics shaping the game today?
Yeah, I mean, the last two primetime games, I think we've seen it pretty, explicitly. The Raiders, on their long touchdown drive to tie the game last night, they went for it on fourth down on their own end of the field. They went for it on fourth down in the red zone. You know, that there's a number of ways you saw it there. You said Cleveland went for two when they were down eight, which is people in my world have thought that that's a no-brainer for a long time, but we're starting to see it actually happen. But, aside from that, I think we're seeing it kind of when it comes to, sort of player evaluation. We're seeing it with team construction. One of the seminal findings of my group was, that pass rush and coverage are sort of maybe a little bit more of equal importance than we thought. We've always watched the game of football where we could see the defensive lineman's effect on the quarterback, but we couldn't see the coverage's effect on the quarterback. And, the smart teams now, the teams that are building, the Dolphins, the Bills, the Patriots for the longest time, are starting to build their defenses from back to front, which has, led to, some really interesting and successful regimes. And that's a good thing. And that's something that's fun. Obviously, the quarterback position, we've seen guys who are less the prototype be the number one pick. The Kyler Murray's, the Baker Mayfield, because of the way in which analytics people, both within PFF and outside of PFF, have been able to evaluate them. So we're seeing it just in a lot of different ways. It's really fun. And I think that the most exciting thing is, 10 years from now, the problems that we're working on now will seem pretty quaint. And the game of football will have evolved enough where we'll have a huge set of new problems to work on.
We're talking to Dr. Eric Eager. He's an NFL analyst at Pro Football Focus. So I promised everyone going to break that I would ask you about Baker Mayfield. He's been outstanding the last couple weeks. Is it time to buy in on Baker?
I think so. I think one of the interesting findings we had is that, passer rating when clean, or passer efficiency when clean, is so much more of a stable thing than passer efficiency when pressured. And Mayfield has struggled with pressure this year, and we've seen some high profile mishaps on his part. But in reality, if you can avoid pressure, every quarterback gets better, and that's really where you see the true ranking of quarterbacks. And Mayfield's a top 10, top 5 guy in that regime. And the Browns have done such a good job, whether it be through play action or throwing quickly or, performing better up front. They've been able to protect him better, and we've seen Mayfield, perform at a high level. And the NFL needs it. I mean, you're looking at, we saw last night, Marcus Mariota is a former second overall pick. He's a backup. The first overall pick in the same draft, Jameis Winston's a backup. Carson Wentz, the second overall pick in 2016, he's a backup. Like, we need some of these young quarterbacks to emerge and to be, the superstars in the league, because Big Ben and Tom Brady and Drew Brees are not going to be around forever.
Well, it's interesting. Of course, you highlighted some who have faltered a bit, but there's a pretty good rookie class this year. Justin Herbert last night looked outstanding. What are you seeing in his quarterback play?
Well, he's another one where I think all of his passing statistics when under pressure are better than when clean, which is, I think, going to scream for some regression. We've seen it a little bit in him over the past few weeks. His yards per attempt were like below league average going into last night, which is sort of strange given how I think he's performed in the eyes of many. But last night he was great. I mean, you see the arm strength there. You see the, you know, you see the toughness. You see, things that you want to buy into. So, I think the Chargers struggle because their coaching is I think, uniquely bad. But, once you get a good infrastructure in place there, I think Herbert's going to be a pretty good NFL quarterback.
So you mentioned the coaching for the Chargers. But using analytics, think about it from your analytical perspective. What coaches stand out to you? Who's impressing you with the decision-making right now, or even roster construction?
Well, Buffalo, to me, is an underrated star in the NFL. When you look at, they draft Josh Allen, and, well, first off, they tanked. They tried to tank in 2017. They traded Sammy Watkins to the Rams. They traded, Ronald Darby to the Eagles, and they let Stephon Gilmore go, and they really traded Reggie Ragland to the Chiefs. Like, they tried to get rid of, like, sort of every asset that they had to rebuild, and they luck-boxed their way into the playoffs, weirdly, because Cincinnati beat Baltimore in Week 17. But then they draft Josh Allen. They take a little bit of a step back. And what have they done since? Well, they basically just built a super offense around him, knowing that, aside from accuracy, which Allen sometimes struggles with, getting separation is the second most valuable thing in the NFL. So they get Stephon Diggs, who can create separation with any other player in the league. Cole Beasley is a really underrated player. And then John Brown's a deep threat that has, really emerged in the NFL since he's been given an opportunity. And you've seen that can elevate a player like Josh Allen, who many, I think rightfully talk about as limited, to being, I would say, one of the Pro Bowl quarterbacks in the NFL now. And that's a really good testament to how smart the Bills can be as a franchise. Obviously, Cleveland's there too. I think Stefanski's one of the rising stars, the Miami Dolphins as well. And then when you look at just play callers, somebody who's really stood out to me this year is Joe Brady of Carolina. I know that they're in a rebuilding season, but that team is competitive with everybody that they face this year, despite a quarterback who I think many believe is limited in Teddy Bridgewater. Brady, I think, has been a star, and there's just a matter of time, I think, before he becomes a head coach.
We're talking to Eric Eager. He's an NFL analyst at Pro Football Focus. I want to ask you about the Cowboys. How much of the responsibility for their poor season should fall on the shoulders of Mike McCarthy?
Some, for sure. I mean, Mike Nolan is the defensive coordinator who hasn't had success in a long time. And they had him come in, and, you haven't seen, rebound seasons from Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch. Their secondary, I mean, everybody else in the league, the Dolphins got Byron Jones, and, their defense has turned it around in a huge way. The Dallas Cowboys, they spent their money on an edge player, which, that's all fine and good, but if you can't cover receivers in 2.5 seconds or less, your pressure guys don't really matter that much, and we've seen that quite a bit here. So I think some of the decisions that they've made on the defensive side of the ball, now they're not McCarthy's decisions necessarily, 100%, but they're certainly part of the rebuild that he's tried to have. Obviously, the games that they've played with Dak Prescott, the fact that it's not clear necessarily that he'll be signing a long-term deal there, that's a fumble, in my opinion. And, the amount of money that they've given Zeke, now that's not McCarthy's fault, but the number of touches that they've given Zeke is McCarthy's fault, in my opinion. And that's really hurt them, given how much he's regressed since a really good start of his career.
Eric, I've got about a minute remaining. I want to ask, is there a formula to stopping the Chiefs?
It was just score with them. I mean, we saw the Raiders have done this a few different times.
Yep.
I think the Chiefs defense can be slow, and if you have guys like Henry Ruggs and Darren Waller, who's a fast tight end, if you can sort of stretch the field on them, I think that they get a little bit, complacent sometimes, but man, it's going to be hard. I think I've talked about Buffalo a number of times here. I think Buffalo is the one team that can do it. I think that they're a poor man's Kansas City in sort of the highs and the lows that they can have.
Great stuff. He's Dr. Eric Eager, and you can find him at Pro Football Focus. Eric, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage
from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Well, we've had some fun talking a lot of NFL on our Football Friday this morning, but I think we're a little overdue to talk about some NBA action. And the NBA starts next week. Hard to believe, but of course, Christmas Day has always become, well, has been now for a long time, a big day in the NBA. And as we enter this season, there's still so many questions looming from the offseason, and none bigger than what's going on in Houston, where the Rockets have a big decision to make about James Harden. Joining us now here on the Sports Map Radio Network is our NBA expert, Don Thomas. Don, thanks for joining us here on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I have to begin with Houston. I'm broadcasting live out of Houston, Texas. If you were the general manager, if you were Raphael Stone, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, what would you do with James Harden? Would you trade him, and can you get fair value?
Unfortunately, at this point, I don't think it's possible to get fair value. I think you get the best value that you can. That report that just came out of the Houston Rockets culture is unbelievable. And, I mean, I feel like we should have seen this coming when you see Daryl Morey and D'Antoni both just walk away, not get fired, but walk away, that something was going on in the Rockets organization. And I mean, now it makes total sense why Westbrook and Harden were butting heads, because if you can knock Westbrook for a lot of things. You can knock him for his decision making. You can knock him that he settles for way too many long 2-point shots, but you can't knock his work ethic and his desire on the court. No one plays harder than Westbrook night in and night out. So, of course, he had a problem with his culture of Harden wanting to party. I think your best option is to trade him to Philadelphia. I know Daryl Morey is very, very adamant about saying he's not going to trade Ben Simmons, but I think that is the best talent that you can get back. I think the Bucks could have been in play if they hadn't emptied all of their treasure set of draft picks for this Drew Holiday trade. I'm sure they're furious with themselves for that. But if I'm the Rockets, I don't think at this point he can stay. So I'm looking at Ben Simmons and maybe some draft picks for that as well. But, you know, I think that they have to acknowledge that it's not going to be a fair straight up 50-50 trade. They're going to be getting maybe 70 cents of the dollar here on a Harden trade.
Yeah, hard to get full value back when you trade away a superstar. Now, there have been whispers that it might be the Brooklyn Nets, but do you think Harden plays well alongside Kyrie Irving?
I actually don't know that I even want to do that trade if I were the Nets. I think that if Brooklyn and Houston can agree on a Kyrie Irving-Harden trade, I think that's interesting. But it reminds me a little bit of the Cavaliers when LeBron first came back and there was LeBron and Kyrie Irving and you had Dion Waiters and all these isolation scorers that needed the ball in their hand. And if you have three of them with a personality like Kyrie Irving, what are you going to tell Kyrie Irving, go stand in the corner and be a spot a 3-point shooter and we'll kick it to you? I don't understand how that works with them. If I'm the Rockets and they're not offering Kyrie Irving, which they're not, I don't like the trade. I don't think LeVert and Dinwiddie and all these players, that's enough to equal a Harden. And if I'm the Nets, I don't think that makes sense on paper. I think that you can build a team around them with more defensive specialists and shooting. So I don't actually think that trade makes sense for either of them.
Is there a matchup with the Heat that makes sense?
It is. If the Heat are willing to give up Tyler Hero, I think that they should. If you have a core of Adebayo and Butler and Harden, that's the best team in the East. And, you know, that is a threat to overtake the Lakers, who are the favorites this year. The Heat do seem to be hesitant to trade Hero, and part of it might be that the culture that the Heat have developed as a team the last year is really strong, and you're looking at the circus that Harden is creating in Houston, and they might not want to risk it. They have a good thing going. And the Supermax that Giannis signed really does change everything, because they wanted to be players with him in free agency. And now that that's off the table, they might look at this and say, look, the free agent class next year is going to be a bust. No one's going to be there unless Kawhi opts out. So let's roll the dice and let's win now. I mean, Butler is on a different timeline than Hero and Adebayo. So if they're willing to give up Hero, that might be interesting for the Heat.
All right, let's move on from James Harden. He's certainly sucked a lot of oxygen out of the NBA air. But let me ask you about some other players and teams and matchups. Are you more excited to see how Zion looks, or are you more excited to see how Kevin Durant performs coming back from injury?
I love Zion. I can't wait to see how he develops into becoming what I believe the face of the franchise. I think he's great for the NBA. I'm more intrigued by the storyline of Kevin Durant. One, because he was on par with LeBron, and I believe the second best player in the world when he was healthy. But also the narrative of, you were in Golden State on the most stacked, talented team we've ever seen, and you chose to leave them to go to Brooklyn. So there's a lot of pressure. I mean, I know he's coming off a bad Achilles injury, but there's a lot of pressure to back up that decision, because the Chiefs still in Golden State, they're still the favorites. They're still winning. So he has a lot of pressure to show that, one, that was a good decision, and also that he can actually win a championship when he's not on a super team. The Warriors didn't need Durant to win championships. They had already been to the finals back-to-back years before he got there. So, you know, he does have two rings. I don't think that they hold as much weight as some other rings in a lot of people's eyes, because he just sort of walked into a super team. So I think if he wins in Brooklyn, it does a lot for his legacy, getting a third ring where he's really the superstar on that team.
We're talking to Sports Map Radio NBA expert Don Thomas. So what team, when you look at the offseason, and it was a short offseason, but what team do you think had the best offseason?
This is a no-brainer, the Lakers. No question. I think the Suns had a good one. I think the Trailblazers had a good one. The Hawks made themselves relevant, which is essential in the NBA. But the Lakers, when you create a super team, a la LeBron and Dwayne Wade in Miami, that first year, you don't have as much cap wiggle room to really bring in the surrounding pieces that you need. So, and case in point, the Heat did not win a championship their first year until they brought in people like eventually Shane Battier and Ray Allen, and you get those other players. That was the Lakers' situation last year. Kawhi screwed them by dangling the possibility of him signing with them before he went to the Clippers, and then there was no one left, and they brought in all of these sort of redemption players like Dwight Howard and Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, and yet they still won the ring. So that was actually going to be the hardest year for them to win. Now, when they had the mid-level exception to throw at Montrezl Harrell, which not only is that a huge signing for them, it also shoots the Clippers, so that was a win-win for them. And you bring in Dennis Schroeder, Wesley Matthews replaces Danny Green, Marc Gasol is basically another point guard. So last year, the biggest problem for the Lakers is they really just had LeBron running the offense. Now they have LeBron running it, they have Schroeder running it, Gasol can basically run it, and then Talen Horton-Tucker has come out of nowhere. I think that this is one of the deepest teams that we've seen in a few years. I think that they're the heavy favorites. And the other thing that they did for themselves is now they can afford to really ease LeBron and Anthony Davis into this season. They have the least amount of rest coming out of the bubble. But with the depth that the Lakers have now, they can afford to start blowing teams out and rest Anthony Davis and LeBron after the third quarter. So I think the Lakers are the heavy favorites this year. I think that Rob Pelinka has clearly proven that he's an outstanding GM. I think he gets an A-plus this year. And they definitely did the best work in this short offseason.
All right, let's look at the other end of the spectrum. Who had the worst offseason?
I don't know what Detroit is doing. They signed the multitude of big men and let Wood go to Houston, and Wood's the one that they should have kept the most. So I don't understand what they were doing there. The Bucks, I don't want to say that they did the worst because they got Giannis to stay, but I think that they could have done a little better. I love Drew Holiday. I think he fits on absolutely every single team in the NBA. But what's crazy is they probably gave up more for Jrue Holiday in terms of draft picks than the Rockets are going to get back for Harden. They gave up 3 first-round draft picks and a pick swap. I don't think that the Rockets are even going to get that many picks for Harden. So I think it was a desperation move. If you say that that was the move that was able to keep Giannis there, then great. But unfortunately, Jrue Holiday can leave at the end of the year. You really hard capped yourself that you don't have any young talent coming into the draft for the next few years. So it's a huge win for them. They got the Supermax with Giannis, but hopefully we don't see in 2 years that they have a Harden situation of their own where, you know, he's demanding a trade because he doesn't like the talent that they've surrounded him with. So
who is the favorite in the East now? Are the Bucks the favorite?
I mean, the Nets are the biggest wild card because on paper, if they're healthy, they are the most talented team. The Bucks are certainly the favorite in the regular season. I think they'll have the best record again. But I think if the Nets are healthy, they're the biggest threat.
Sort of interesting right now, ESPN, Sports Illustrated, lots of venues have come out with player rankings. They're ranking the players from 1 to 100. When you look at those rankings, who's underrated to you? Who deserves more love?
Well, I think there's a little bit of recency bias going on. I don't think that Anthony Davis, as amazing as he was in the playoffs, is the second best player in the world. I think that was a little lazy going 1-2 with the Lakers with LeBron Anthony Davis. I mean, as big of a choke job as it was, I think Kawhi Leonard is higher than 5, and I definitely think Kevin Durant is higher than 6. I know he's coming off an injury, but LeBron and Durant were the consensus 1-2 for years in this league. So I think that they have the top 6 or 7 correct, but I think that their order is a little off. I mean, the player to watch in that list is Luka Doncic at age 21, already ranking the 4th best player in the league. And I agree with that. I don't think that that's off. If you look at his stats, no one puts up numbers like he did at that age. On paper, his numbers are better than LeBron James at 21. So I would swap it. I think Anthony Davis is probably number 5 in the league. But besides that, I think it's pretty accurate. I mean, the fact that LeBron James, besides being injured, has been number 1 in every single iteration of the rankings they've done since, I think, 2011 is astounding that he's about to turn 36. But yeah, I would move Kawhi up a little bit and I'd move Kevin Durant up a little bit.
We're talking to Don Thomas, our NBA expert here. We've got about a minute to go, Don. I guess when I think about the new rookies coming in, who do you think will have the best rookie year? Who's your pick for rookie of the year?
I think Ball will get it. I think that he's in the best position to actually make an impact on his team. He's not going to be buried in the depth chart. I think he'll start right away. Charlotte's in need of star power. I think they're going to lean on him immediately. So whether or not he is the best player in that draft class, I think that he's going to get the most looks, the most touches. I mean, if I'm Weissman, I'm thrilled with that situation that he just walked into in Golden State. There's zero pressure on him. He basically, the first half of the season, all he has to do is rebound and block shots, and people will be happy. They don't need him to score. They don't need to throw it down to him on the block. He just has to give them energy and defense and hustle and let, you know, their offensive power around him with Curry and everyone else do the work for him. So I think that he won't get a lot of the attention because of the situation that he's in, but I think Wiseman's set up for a really, really smooth start into the NBA for his career.
Outstanding stuff. He's Don Thomas. Don, thank you so much for joining us on Sports Map Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Well, it was great to have Don Thomas join us. Don will actually be in studio here next week from 12 to 3, Monday through Wednesday. So I'll be filling in for Matt Perrault. Don will join me. I guess we won't have you, Ron. It'll be somebody else behind the glass.
Yeah.
I don't know how we do radio without you, though. Why don't you just work longer?
All right, I'll do that.
If you don't, you know, I am the boss.
You are the boss.
I'm going to pull a Tom Cruise on you if you're not careful. Don't want to do that.
Just as long as I don't have to beep anything out.
No, well, you'd have to beep a lot of it out if it's Tom Cruise. There's no doubt. Interesting point he made that Luka Doncic, I mean, it's amazing at 21. He probably is a top five player in the NBA, even at this early point in his career.
It's weird to think that he escalated that quickly. Because I remember when he got drafted, nobody really thought too much of it at the time.
There was some head scratching that maybe the Mavericks were making a mistake.
Yes.
But, boy, they saw something and they were dead right about that.
It's like Dirk 2.0 mixed with, you know, a Jordan, a LeBron type of player as well.
Incredible. And then I think he's right, looking at the rookies, Ball is going to get a lot of attention, and he makes those highlight-style plays. And so, yeah, he's probably the guy you'd think could position himself for Rookie of the Year, but Wiseman does move into a great situation playing for the Warriors.
Yeah, especially now. I thought maybe before Klay Thompson's injury, you know, when there was rumors that that's who they were going for because they needed a big man.
Yep.
That before Klay Thompson's injury that, you know, they would lean on him, but not as much because you have Steph and Klay doing their thing. Now with Klay being out again,
yep,
I think they're going to lean on him a lot. So we're going to hear his name a lot more often.
Well, look forward to seeing what he will do with Golden State. And then the thing that just bothers me to hear Don say it, but I think he's right. The Lakers had a great offseason, and they are positioned for another run.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I'm not a Lakers fan.
Yeah, it's all right.
But I have to respect they've got a good team. Yeah. Hey, look, this hour of the Boston, the Gloss, and Sports Talk Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Great time the last couple of hours. Ron, thanks so much for all the help, and really enjoyed the last couple of hours. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.